This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
You're tuned in to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
All right, hello, good afternoon, and welcome. Another stellar edition of The Drive underway here on Fan Run Radio. Russell Smith punching the time clock on a beautiful Tuesday. Breaking news right off the top here, ladies and gentlemen. We go to the Fan Run Breaking News Desk. How about this for a turn back the clock moment, Bear? The Jacksonville Jaguars have signed Trey Smith to a free agent contract. Not that Trey Smith, not our Trey Smith.
Oh, I was getting ready to say, there's no way in the hot place that Andy Reid's letting go of the steal.
Not happening.
One of the top five steals, I think, all time of the draft.
But this is an interesting one. This is Trey Smith, the son of former Jags great Jimmy Smith.
Oh, yeah.
How about that?
You two youngins remember Jimmy Smith?
Who was the other of Mark Brunell's targets back in the late 90s, Jag? Come on, Bear. Any fool can drop Jimmy Smith's name, but.
Was it a Gator?
Are you prepared to get? No, it was not. You're thinking of Fred Taylor.
Fragile Fred in the backfield.
Fragile I'm talking.
Fred. That's a little disrespectful.
That's truth. That was his nickname back in the day. Fragile Fred. Couldn't stay healthy.
He seemed to be pretty healthy against us in college.
Go Gator.
Another story. I'm talking about Keenan McCardell, brother.
Yes! Did he end up at Tampa Bay eventually?
I don't know. Anyway.
We're going to talk Jags?
Why do you bring this up, Russell? Well, it's just a roundabout way to play you a sound clip that we haven't played in well over a year that Jake and Marcus have never heard.
Oh, it's so funny.
And it's been a while.
It's been a while.
Can't believe that we haven't found a good excuse to play this. I mean, it might be 2 years.
I mean, the Jags have just absolutely sucked out loud for a long time.
What?
They don't really come into conversation.
They've been strong. They've just been playing by the rules.
They say they have the best draft in the entire NFL. Are you surprised to hear that?
Certainly not. The first year we took it to the limit. And I was in Miami with my new beach house. Well, it was a couple minutes from the beach.
It's been 20 years since then. We haven't been too strong in the last few years.
Oh, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Oh, man. It's been a while.
I mean, that's so funny.
Oldie but a goldie right there.
Well, I'll tell you what happened was we found out later, we found out her backstory. That's when we stopped.
Yeah, let's not talk about that because then
makes
I'll
it
feel
less
bad.
Funny.
Yeah. She's like a homeless drug addict or something. But we'll just pretend we don't know that part of the story.
It's even funnier when you see her saying, I mean,
Oh, yeah, it was a news piece from Jacksonville, like right after the draft one day, and like she turns and looks in the camera with this glaring intensity and says,
"You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show."
Oh.
Wait, so that's a woman?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And now I feel really bad.
Yeah. I mean, I believe she identifies as a woman. Who can tell these days? It's 2022. You don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Got Toby Awaka today.
I'm fired up. I thought that was going to be our breaking news.
No, that happened earlier this morning.
6'8", 240 pound. You need to look up some video on him.
Need to go watch the film?
Yeah. Yeah.
I need to go look at the film.
I'm not saying I would expect him to contribute a lot, but I think coming in he's going to be more physically ready to go than some of our other freshmen.
Is he a banger?
Digs. He looks like he's about it. Like he's a tough kid.
Well, the thing I like about Awaka
I really like the Phillips addition last week was key. Getting Julian Phillips in the fold because he gives you so much flexibility because he can play multiple positions. You can play Josiah at the four there. You can play him at the – I think Phillips is going to play a lot of three. I'm not buying this. He's going to play the four like at 200 pounds, whatever he weighs. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think he projects more as a perimeter player for Tennessee next year. But I just keep going back to what Aaron Torres, who's going to join us on the show tomorrow, told us after the season when we were doing our postmortem and what in the world went wrong with Tennessee basketball? Why can't we have any tournament success? And look, Awaka's a nice addition. If you're still like questioning Rick Barnes' ability to put together a roster, like what are you doing? I mean, he's proven everything, man. He's won the regular season championship, the conference tournament. He's signed five stars, put dudes in the NBA. He's won a couple of tournament games. But, I mean, we've said it a billion times. The only thing left is to make a run in the NCAA tournament. And, like, I just think we're always going to have a decent roster. But I go back to when we were asking everybody for, like, 2 weeks, what makes – a good NCAA tournament coach. And why is Rick Barnes struggle in that regard? And the like only thing approaching a satisfactory answer that I think we got was Aaron Torres said, you have to be able to build a roster that can win different games in different ways. And that's why I think getting Phillips was so key is because I think we can play big. If you have to, you can play Urosh and Kamwa together and Triple J at the three, or you could play Phillips at the three and Triple J at the four, or you could play like four shooting guards in a big. You play four shooting guards in Josiah. You play really small. You could like there's. We have more options, I think, because Phillips is such a versatile player. It just gives us more options. Now, I don't know if Barnes is going to coach him up and make the right calls and we get a good draw and everybody's healthy. Like, who knows? But once again, and we still got two spots to fill, man. It looks like we've put together a pretty good roster.
We got two left.
Yeah.
Wonder if he's going to fill both of them.
Well, it certainly looks like we're the leader for DJ Jefferson. Another guard who I think might be just kind of a guy you stash on your roster, like Awaka. Maybe he plays a little bit, but more of a developmental guy. Like, I don't know how big of an impact he makes next year. I could be wrong. Maybe he makes a huge impact, but it's kind of my gut read on it.
Yeah.
So you get him, and then there's one spot to play with. Sounds like Tyrese Hunter is a Texas lean, although it's not done till it's done. And if you get him, I mean, great. That's fantastic. You roll with those 13, and that's your squad. If you don't, I think you just wait, and maybe an international guy pops up on the radar over the summer. Maybe another Zakai Ziegler just sort of materializes from the mist in August.
I mean, you really never know.
You never know.
But I'm looking forward to a walk. I'm expecting him probably as career trajectory to be more in line with like a Grant or an Admiral, that really develops here.
Guy jumps it, gets his feet wet a little bit next year, and then maybe ready for a more permanent role as a sophomore, and hopefully develops into
a force,
a dude. Yeah.
So, but I mean he played with Zakai Ziegler. They both came up playing in New York City. On the playgrounds. I mean, those kids are different that come from up there.
Is he a legit 240? You buying that?
Yeah, because I mean, he's pretty well put together.
The stuff I've seen, those videos of like him in the airport or whatever, he did not strike me as, because Grant's 240, right?
Is he 240 right now?
I think he's kind of always been 240, even when he was fat. I think he just
traded the fat in for muscle and cut. Yeah, I mean, he's what, 2 or 3 inches maybe even 4 inches. He's probably 2 or 3 inches taller than Grant. I think he looks real similar. The game film I watched this morning when I woke up and saw that we did get him, physically he kind of reminds me of like Triple J. Like he's not skinny. You know, even Huntley Hatfield, he looked thin last year to me.
Yeah.
Like this kid's,
even if he's like actually 220, 225, something like that.
Nah, I think he's probably close, like 230, 235 probably.
I mean, you can put weight on. He doesn't strike me as the kind of – like there's some dudes like Kyle Alexander, Fulke, like those guys where they're just skinny and like you talk to those guys and they're like, oh, I eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches 10 times a day. I drink 15 protein shakes a day and I just like inject lard into me and I can't gain weight. Like he doesn't strike me as one of those dudes. He strikes me as a guy that gets in the gym and adds – 20 pounds of muscle over a couple of years.
Well, he's definitely, not only does he have the frame for it, he's already got a start on it. I mean, he's a muscular kid, really strong, very athletic, probably a lot more athletic looking than Grant and Admiral were when they came in.
I mean, hey, those guys are in the NBA.
Oh, I know. One of them's, you know, could get a ring this year.
Grant's quest for a ring begins
tonight.
In earnest tonight, Eastern Conference Finals Game 1 in Miami, Celtics Heat. Be a good series.
Still pulling for the Celtics?
Oh, yeah. I can't pull for the Heat, man. Too much Kentucky on that team.
But they have Michael Jordan's son.
I don't care. They got too much Kentucky for my
blood.
What
does he do for him?
Oh, I was talking about Jimmy Butler.
Oh.
He had picked up on his Jimmy Butler is Michael Jordan's illegitimate child obsession yet, Bear? I mean, he's only said it like a billion times in his
He doesn't look a thing like
show.
Him.
He looks a lot like him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Go back to the rookie.
You watch tonight, and you won't be able to unsee it.
All right. I love Jimmy Butler.
Yeah. I mean, he's got MJ's competitiveness gene.
I mean, he's just, yeah, dedicated. I like his game. But we are. I can't believe I'm saying this. Rooting for the Celtics strictly because I mean, if Grant wasn't in this game, I'd be probably pulling for the Heat, just because of Butler.
Heat are a 1.5 point favorite this evening in Miami. By the way, Tennessee basketball. Gary Parrish, CBSSports.com, released his latest top 25 and one just about 2 hours ago, and this does reflect Julian Phillips joining Tennessee's roster. Where do you think Tennessee is ranked? Where's a good spot for the Vols to be ranked preseason top 25?
15 or above.
Jake?
11.
Marcus, you want to take a shot at it?
I'm going to say top 10.
Number 10. Pretty solid. Pretty solid. Parrish writes, the Volunteers' ranking is based on Tennessee returning 4 of its top 5 scorers, among them Santiago Viscovi, Josiah Jordan-James. Tennessee will miss one-and-done point guard Kennedy Chandler, but should still be a factor near the top of the SEC, thanks in part to the addition of 5-star forward Julian Phillips. He's got North Carolina number 1, Houston number 2, Arkansas 3rd, and Kentucky 4th. You know, Arkansas's got like they've done the transfer portal thing again. They got like nine or ten new guys.
Yeah, remember those guys were talking last year when we had the Arkansas people in on our Twitter Spaces that night. That they were last year for them kind of happened a year earlier. They were expecting last year, you know, with what they've you know that huge class they've got coming in.
They do have Jalen Williams coming back, so I mean that'll be a good anchor for them. And then they've got 3 5-stars.
I'll tell you who else has a hell of a class coming in is Bama.
Yeah.
Although it did kind of fall apart for them at the end of the season there.
Looking for Alabama. He's got them 21st in the country. Kentucky is 4th.
The joke.
The Notre Dame of college basketball.
We got Sheboy coming back. Cason Wallace joins them. And I'm sure they've got
– Jonas doesn't sweat.
Couple other good players.
Oscar Tshiebwe, he stuffed him last year. He'll do it again.
Oh, I mean, I'm not worried about Kentucky. I think they'll have a good team. I think we'll beat them at least once. If we play in the tournament, I think we'll beat them 2 out of 3 times. That's just how it is when Rick Barnes shows up and John Calipari's standing on that other sideline. Put that in your pipe and smoke it, TJ the Kentucky fan.
Yeah.
Coming up, we got Tennessee baseball tonight. The final midweek game of the season. How about that, man? A season winding down. Belmont is in town.
Senior night.
They got themselves a squad. Belmont does.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, this should be a big game. First pitch, 6 p.m. tonight over at Lindsey Nelson Stadium. Coming up, our Logan Quinton, Fan Run's resident baseball guru, joins the show. He's going to talk about a couple of podcasts that he has coming up on the Fan Run platform, and we'll get his thoughts on Tennessee and Mississippi State coming up this weekend in Starkville. Stay with us. The Drive continues. It's Fan Run Radio. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Jake, back with you on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon in East Tennessee. And pleased to be joined now by our buddy Logan Quinton, the Fan Run resident college baseball guru and host of the 920 podcast. Got a new episode out today. Good afternoon, Logan. How are you, sir?
How's it going, fellas?
Hey, man, it's going well. Final week of the season. Man, it seems to me like, and I know this has been a more anticipated college baseball season than we've been accustomed to, but it just feels like this year has absolutely flown by.
No, it has. I actually mentioned that to somebody yesterday that's in the industry. And, yeah, maybe it's because, you know, we're following Tennessee. Like you said, we're sort of riding that rocket ship headed by Vitello and crew. And so I don't know if it's just that or what. And it's been a crazy year to begin with. I mean, you know, thank goodness we have the treat of being right here front and center with the ship that Tony V is sailing, because everybody else, man, it's just been a coin flip one week after another. But either way you slice it, man, you're absolutely right. I mean, I'm the same way. It seems like it's just flown by. We're here at the last weekend. We're about to go into Hoover.
Now, Logan, before we start talking about Hoover and Mississippi State this weekend, tell everybody about the podcast you guys just dropped. Is you did an interview with one of my favorite former Vols and former Atlanta Braves on the 920 podcast this week.
Yeah, so we got with Greg McMichael. Some of you know, if you've been looking at content for the past couple of years, did an interview with him last year. So I was just following up with him because he was in Knoxville this past weekend through the first pitch of the Saturday game against Georgia. And that, you know, that meant a lot to him. And this was really Greg's first look inside the program and really getting to rub elbows and shake hands with the guys on staff. You know, he wears many hats with the Atlanta Braves organization. So really this was his first time being able to take the time to get an inside look. And so we talked to Greg about, you know, what he thought of Tony Vitello and Frank Anderson and that staff and what he sees going forward, some of the stuff he was impressed with, and, made sure to get some of his thoughts on the on his latest world championship, which was last season.
Any interesting nuggets you want to share? A little teaser out there, or do they have to go listen to the pod?
No, I mean, what I walked away with was, you know, he's really impressed. And last season, when I spoke with Greg about the impressions that the program was putting on the alumni, you know, even from afar, Greg was impressed, and he could kind of tell. You know, it's one of those things, you know it when you see it type of deal. And, but no, he was really impressed with the staff. He thinks that, you know, like everybody's talked about that's in the industry or media or former coaches, players, they're just so highly competitive, and it's kind of, you know, it shows in the results. And, you know, not only did he get an inside look at Tennessee, you know, Tennessee returned in the favor to him because he mentioned that Tony V and some of the staff were down in the Atlanta area at some point, didn't go into detail. But, you know, Greg, like I said, he wears many hats, and he was, you know, able to take them for a tour in terms of the landscape down there recruiting-wise. And, you know, we touched on that. And that's a huge deal. You know, we talked about how Tennessee's been at the forefront of recruiting, and it's not just like, you know, getting these big guys, you know, trying to go out and get some of these guys that are the highest of rated prospects and hoping that they flip to you instead of the draft. It's about, you know, doing it locally and regionally and being able to get the best guys in the state and the best guys in the region. So we talked about that, expanding on the recruiting trail.
Logan Quinton with us this afternoon. All right, Logan, let's talk about this Belmont game tonight. I hear a lot of scuttlebutt on the internet that this is a eminently losable game for Tennessee. The Bruins evidently have a squad, and I'm sure they'd love nothing more than coming to Knoxville and knock off the number one team in the country.
Yeah, from what I hear, they're pretty confident that if they pull off the big upset and take care of business this weekend with their schedule coming up, that they could be in line for an at-large bid, not have to worry about winning the conference tournament, the Ohio Valley. And, yeah, it's a typical – I mean, they're right there with Tennessee Tech, ETSU, you know, those mid-major, you know, smaller schools that just have, you know, great talent, really good talent, because a lot of them are in-state. And then going back to what I talked to Greg with, you know, there's just a lot of really good talent in East Tennessee and mid-state, and Belmont's a benefactor of that. And so, yeah, they're a good club. I think they're only at like 5 or 6 losses in the conference in Ohio Valley, and so that's really good. That's where you want to be. But Xander Sechrist, man, that's a guy that a freshman lefty going for the Vols that is going to probably put them in position and keep them in position. I mean, the Vols are going to have to be ready and not, you know, experience any hangovers from winning the regular season title or anything like that. But I really think that, you know, Sunday's come and gone, you know, or Saturday, excuse me, you know, they had that letdown on the third game of the weekend. That's come and gone. And I think now that they have the title and things locked up, little pressure's off. I think, and we saw that the bats are kind of coming back to life. I'm not too worried about it, but it's certainly a game you got to watch out for, no doubt.
Yeah, I like having some of the pressure aspect of, you know, the conference slate behind them. And I actually think, Logan, that this team has been at its best when things have been a little chippy. And, you know, I wonder, Mississippi State, they've got that beautiful ballpark down there. They take it super serious. I know they, you know, defending national champions, have not had the season they were hoping for, obviously, but I'm sure it'll be a hostile environment and those folks will show up and there'll be a lot of words being said from the folks grilling out there in the outfield and everything. And I don't know, is it wishful thinking to hope that maybe that'll bring out the best in this group?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, I paid attention to the last home game that Mississippi State played, and sure, there were, you know, it was packed. I mean, but they're dealing with a larger capacity, you know, than most schools. But there were still a lot of empty seats behind home plate and near that area. You know, it's still going to provide at least a nice atmosphere. I mean, it's funny you mentioned Mississippi State, and you know, of course we've got them on the schedule. But I would like to mention we've also got another guest this week. Speaking with Steve Robertson, he's covered the Mississippi State Bulldogs for 25 years now, and he's actually written a few books, the latest Dogpile on their championship run last season. Spoke to him, and that pod will be out, you know, in the coming days. And we spoke about this matchup and about the situation because I never could imagine. I had this event circled, you know, from the beginning of the season, because you're going down to such a legendary place, playing the defending champs, and I never would have imagined Tennessee would have the number one seed in the conference locked up, and Mississippi State is all but eliminated from Hoover. But here we are, and we're presented with it, and it's an interesting matchup in many ways. But, I mean, look, you're talking about R.J. Yeager, Brad Cumbus. It could be their last series in Maroon. And so you can never, no matter how bad the pitching is and other aspects, you know those guys are going to be ready, and it starts with them.
Talking with Logan Quinton. He is the host of Fan Run's 920 podcast. 920 miles, that's the distance from Knoxville to Omaha. And Logan, of course, that's the goal. I mean, ultimately, that's where Tennessee wants to be. The expectations are going to be there. You head into postseason ranked on top, but we've all seen the stats about good teams, you know, that haven't made it to Omaha and stuff like that. Just where do you think this team is heading into the last week of the season, heading to Hoover? Do you think that their best baseball is behind them, ahead of them, or are we watching it right now? What say you?
Well, I think that they're the perfect makeup. They're the type of squad. I don't know if you want to call it a curse or what, or whatever streak. They're the type of squad that is able to pull that off, not because of the things on paper. It's because of the intangibles. And, it goes back to their leader, Tony B, and his personality, his makeup, and the energy that they thrive off of. I think that's what makes the difference. And then, of course, the stuff on paper and the stats are just mind-blowing. It seems like every week I'm looking this stuff up, and there's a stat that just blows my mind. And today it was looking at their total bases. They're already over 1,000 total bases on the year, by far the best in the SEC. The second team is LSU, and they've not even broken 900 yet. So, I mean, it's just the way that, you know, it's so different from last year because they're crushing the ball and they're more than just a launch angle team. Power hitters, you know, the weight room has really paid off. They can find gaps and they're stealing bases at an alarming rate. And you don't even really, you know, pay attention to the stolen bases department as far as offensively, because everything else overshadows it, all the home runs and doubles, getting extra bases that way. But they really come at you in so many ways. And being able to, have the luxury of being able to pick your spots with the pitching staff, they can literally, obviously, Dolander's number one, their lead horse. And then you can really fill it in how you want after that. And that's really nice to have in postseason play. So I think to answer your question, I think we're experiencing it, right? We've seen that regression. I don't think, you know, we're going to see it again. And if you do, it better be just one game, because you can't lose back-to-back after this weekend. But I think we're riding that wave, and we're going to continue.
You know, it's interesting. You say Dolander is the staff's ace, and I would agree, but I do think it's close, Logan. And, man, this team's got four good starting pitchers to choose from in these postseason games. I'm not even going to call it a great problem to have, because it's not a problem. It's a good situation. But if you are setting up your pitching next week for Omaha, and of course Tennessee will play on Wednesday, looks like a week from tomorrow.
Yeah.
How do you attack that? How do you think Tony Vitello will set that up if he's looking at hopefully playing five games in a championship on Sunday?
Obviously, we'll have a better feel for it after this weekend, because I'm interested to see how he uses Sechrist and how much tonight, and then if he does any more. I'm thinking, what if Sechrist goes, on a short leash tonight, and they let him come out of the pen just to kind of get that experience over the weekend? I think that's interesting, but. They could, if they let Dolander go on Wednesday, let's say a small count, they can let him go out there, hopefully for five innings. But if you do 60, like a 60 pitch count, that opens things up to where you can have him start for you possibly on the Sunday game. So, I don't know. It's a good luxury to have. I know that we've yet to see Tidwell really go the distance, so to speak. I think, it's going to be the Dolander's their lead guy. And then after that, whatever, their priority is after Dolander, I think I would lean Tidwell just because he's been there before in those big moments. And it's going to be real interesting to see how he uses Beam and Burns. I want to see if maybe one or both of those guys get rest this weekend, you know, and that may be vital going forward. But it's, like you said, it's not a problem. It, man, they've got an embarrassment of riches. I think it's just literally comes down to being able to pick their spots, picking the right matchups, and seeing how that unfolds.
Talking with Logan Quinton, host of the 920 podcast here on Fan Run Radio. Logan, last thing we'll let you out of here. This Mississippi State squad, again, to go from defending national champions to 25-27 currently, and taking on number one Tennessee, does not look like they're going to finish with – I mean, they're going to finish with a losing record, Logan. Certainly going to finish with a losing record in conference play. They're 9-18 in the league. That's a surprise. What else surprised you about this league this year?
Oh, gosh, where do you start?
aside from Tennessee.
You know, Auburn's been a really pleasant surprise. Auburn and A&M, more so A&M. I'm just really surprised at the Auburn pitching staff as a whole, because there for a while it looked like you had Gonzalez and then Burkhalter in the pen, and then, you know, you're thinking some of these guys in between are going to falter and be a hole in the staff. But that wasn't the case, man. They've really battled. And, they leave a lot to the imagination on offense without DeShera, if you take him out of the lineup. But they're just a tough, scrappy team. And then A&M, man, that's Schlossnagel's first year. He's really had a huge influence on that club. And they're not going to wow you with anything. They just do a lot of things really well, whether it's offensively or pitching. Even though their pitching stats, I mean, they've got a lead horse. They've got a true ace up at the top, starting with Nathan Detmer. But after that, just a bunch of guys. But they go out there and find a way to get it done. They lead the SEC in home runs allowed with 37. That's pretty impressive. So that would be my surprise of the year, A&M. And I'm kind of surprised Georgia didn't break out. You know, they've just... In the same respect as A&M, you know, they do a lot of things well, but unlike A&M, Georgia was picked to be there, right? Like, they were picked at or near the top of the division in the East, and they haven't broken through yet, and Jonathan Cannon has gotten rocked his last three starts. So if that continues, the Bulldogs will have an early exit.
Hey, Logan, man, appreciate it. How's the newborn doing? Are you getting any sleep these days?
A little bit, yeah. He's starting to get a little more sleep, so I'm starting to get a little more sanity. you know, and if it, like I said, I had this series circled for a long time, and if it wasn't for him, we'd be down there at the Dude, and I'd be able to give you a full report. But needless to say, I'll be watching it, you know, at Quinton Manor, and like the rest of you guys, and yeah, the little one's doing fine, man. I can't wait to put a bat in his hand.
Oh, wow. Logan, already living vicariously through his newborn infant son.
Son.
I didn't
see that coming, but okay.
Plot twist.
The LeVar Ball of baseball.
Logan, we appreciate it, my man. Have yourself a great week. Enjoy the baseball.
All right, guys. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Logan Quinton, go check out the 920 podcast wherever your podcasts are consumed. He's got a great interview with Greg McMichael, the former baseball and Atlanta Brave this week, and then he's going to have longtime Mississippi State baseball guy on later on the week as well. Let's take a quick break here. Open up the phone lines to you, the listening audience, 865-546-8200. Your number to get on board, 546-8200. Back with more right after this. Welcome back. The Drive continues. Fan Run Radio. Russell Bear, Jake. What's your name? Marcus? Young?
It's Marcus Young.
Marcus Young.
Put some respect on his name.
Young Marcus Young.
He's been with us for a minute now.
Thank you, Bear.
Starting to develop a little bit. He's a little bit raw. when he got the call up from single A ball, put him in the double A ball for a little bit, and he's called up to the show. We haven't started him yet. We bring him on to pinch run every now and then.
Stuck him in for an inning like Vitello did with Tidwell up there at the Smokies game.
He's starting to develop, though, man. I sense a bright future for this young man.
Yeah.
So we welcome you back here on Fan Run Radio. Any takeaways from Logan Quinton's appearance on the show today?
Logan Quinton's a little bit more less energy than Christopher Gabriel. But the sheer amount of baseball, like really interesting stuff that he's able to crank out to you, I'll go back and listen to it. Mississippi State, the fact that they won the national championship last year and this year, they're not going to come up with a they're going to be.
That's got to suck for their fans.
Yeah. It's like you don't even really get to enjoy it.
They got such a big ballpark, though. I would think that, you know, beautiful weather, hopefully down there, you know, nice warm days. They've got such a great outfield scene, such a cool ballpark. I would hope that.
There's not a whole lot in Starkville. I mean, feel like that's it's a pretty big to-do down there, isn't it?
I would hope that there's a big crowd, and I really do think that our players feed off that. I think that was the main thing against Kentucky, and I'm not taking anything away from them because they beat our butts, man. They won the series, and to the victor go the spoils, and so a lesson learned. But just I think the weather and the lack of crowd there and, like, just the overall vibe just really took the wind out of our sails. And you could say, well, that's a problem. You know, you got to bring your own stuff. And maybe there's something to that. But I just, from here on out, there's not a problem with energy in Hoover. There's not going to be a problem with energy at Lindsey Nelson for a tournament. And certainly not going to be an energy problem in Omaha. So, like, I just don't think you have to worry about it anymore. After this week, maybe, depending on what happens in Starkville.
I don't know. Their fans I feel like their fans may show up for this. Does anybody know what the weather's supposed to be like? That was the other thing wrong with Kentucky is, the weather was garbage. And I'm sure going into that weekend, their fans probably thought they were getting ready to get just decapitated. So.
Oh, they didn't even show up.
Yeah, and then with all the rain that weekend, and that was an odd weekend.
Kind of chilly, too.
Yeah. Beck's got to break out of his slump, though.
Come on, honcho. Where you at?
Quit pushing.
Like we got, temperatures in the low 70s Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, no rain. Or, I'm sorry, temperatures, high of 93 on Thursday, low of high 70s.
God.
So, yeah, it's going to be hot, muggy baseball weather, summer weather, baseball weather.
Hitting weather.
Let's do it.
Ball goes further.
Good. They're going to sweat, and they give you a rosin bag. Pitchers, use it to your advantage.
Let's go to the phones, 865-546-8200. If you want to jump in, get things started with Martin, who's Boston Celtics, looking to get back to the NBA Finals. The conference finals begin tonight. What's up, Martin?
Russell.
Martin.
How you doing?
Doing well. How are you, sir?
Doing pretty good myself.
Good.
Russell, I heard that Toby is of the class of 2023, just a junior.
A Waka?
A Waka, yes.
Like he's a Toby. Reclassify?
No. What? No. Not again.
Is he?
If Martin says he is, I'm taking that to the bank. Yeah.
I thought he was a senior.
Well, they said on another station that he was the first commitment for the class of 2023. And he averaged 19 points and 14 rebounds a game. But he was already Gatorade Player of the Year in New York.
No, I am seeing, according to 247, class of 2023.
Yeah.
So he's reclassified.
Wow. 22?
Well, it worked for Ziegler.
Is he reclassifying?
Yeah. He's going to be on the team next year.
That's great, man. Russell, I believe you can help us.
Yeah, I mean, well, we need help in the post. I mean, you lose Folky, BHH, and
we didn't play Tomba.
Yeah, so I mean that's three of your big guys gone. You got to add somebody with some size. So Awaka seems like it. And again, I don't think that Tennessee's going to be depending on him to play major minutes next year. Now, who knows? I mean, we said the same thing about Ziegler, right? We thought Ziegler was just going to be a dude you stash on the roster and good practice depth and maybe a developmental prospect in a couple of years. And obviously, he had an immediate impact. So we'll see. Yeah. You never know until they show up.
Russell?
Yes.
You got to be a ball player if you win State Player of the Year in New York.
It's true.
A lot of truth in that, isn't there, Martin?
Sure is. We've got a few quarters. Ray Mears told him like it was. You know what he said, Russell?
What did Mears say?
When he's head coach over there, I'll tell you this and let you go.
Okay.
They said, Coach Mears, why don't you go to Memphis and get your ball players? And you know what he told him?
What's that?
He said, I don't have to go to Memphis. He said, I can go to Atlanta and New York and get my ball players.
Nice. Hey, Martin, how are your Celtics? You feeling good about tonight?
I hope so.
That's not.
I like to see them win.
That doesn't sound very confident to me, Martin.
I believe they can get by the Heat, but the Heat's got off a good team too.
It could be a 7-game series, huh?
6 or 7.
Okay. All right. I'm pulling for the Celtics, Martin.
I am too. I pull for my Celtics and Hawks. I like my Hawks too.
I feel you. You're just a big basketball guy, aren't you?
Big sports fan all around.
Yeah. What's your favorite sport, Martin? You had to choose just one.
Football and basketball.
Okay. He can't choose just one. I'm the same way, buddy. Those are the two best ones. Martin, have yourself a great night, man. Appreciate you.
I appreciate you too. Appreciate you too, Russell.
Thank you.
Bye.
Martin chiming. Yeah.
Dynamite.
Martin dropping knowledge. I had no idea. So Toby's a reclass?
Yeah.
You don't like that at all.
No.
So, apparently, he was originally in the class of 2022 and did basically a holdback thing that put him to where he could be the class of 2023.
As long as he's 18.
How old is he? Do we have like a birth date or can we look at the certificate?
It sounds like he's going to be with his natural class with kids his age going to college.
What kind of name?
That's what I don't like.
What kind of name is Awaka? Is he born in New York City?
I have no idea.
Son of an immigrant or something? That doesn't sound like a...
It's a melting pot.
Regional name.
I mean, it's New York. But what jumped out at me on the video, I mean, you can tell just watching. I mean, this is like higher level basketball in New York City. I mean, I imagine most of all these kids are going D1. It's on the floor.
Had offers from Maryland, St. John's, and Pitt. SMU was another school that he was considering. So, I mean, you got to think that the Ziegler thing really played into his decision.
Yeah. Sure it did.
Gatorade Player of the Year in New York, averaged 19.2 points and 13.9 rebounds per game at Cardinal High School. And I believe... He played his whole career. This is what I like. And I'm not trying to go off on the Huntley Hatfield kid. I really do wish him well. I hope things work out for him. But this sounds to me like more of a Rick Barnes prospect. It sounds like a kid who's got some toughness to him that's been this same place.
In a program, yeah.
Doesn't sound like there's a ton of handlers around him pulling him in different directions. You got to do this, you got to do that. Seems like a kid that wants to work. It's not afraid to work, not afraid of a challenge. And I have a good feeling about this one. And I will tell you, Bear, I don't know if you remember, like, I think we talked about it, and this might have been one of those things that we kind of have the off-air conversation. We try not to do this. We try always to be the exact same on the air as we are off the air, but – sometimes you don't want to rip on a like high school kid, but
no.
I never felt great about the Huntley Hatfield thing.
No. I think we did talk about it on air a little bit. we mentioned, you know, when during the recruitment.
It just didn't seem like a Rick Barnes type of thing. Like, you know, five-star with all the hoopla, been to a bunch of different schools, handlers, all this, you know, goofy recruitment, been all over the place type thing. And it was almost like when he committed, there was like, had the feeling of like an agreement has been reached, you know, he's going to go here. And it's just, it always felt strange. And I was hoping that it would work out. And he flashed a lot and had some good moments and everything, but it never felt right.
But the guys that have really excelled in the Rick Barnes program are the kinds of guys you were talking about, like that have been in the same programs in school and in AAU, you know, just stability, having the same coaches, not bumping around. I mean, there was always something wrong. I mean, why, if you're, I feel like unless you're just, you're, one of your parents is in the military, if you're bouncing from school to school just based on your basketball career.
Yeah. Well, that kids who are used to being on the move, and then now with the transfer rule, like, I think a lot of guys are going to school, football and basketball, wherever, and thinking, man, like, they almost go in not expecting to be there for 4 years. And all these dudes think, like, oh, man, I'm one and done, or I'm going to go to the NBA. Like, I'm not going to be a four-year guy. Josiah Jordan James did not think he was going to be here 4 years.
No.
A five-star coming out of Charleston.
No.
But
he could still make the NBA, though.
Yeah, it happens.
Because he came here.
And I just hope that we're able to find some guys who are a little bit different mentally, where they will commit and look at it as, okay, this is a four-year process where I'm going to have to develop mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, like all that. This Jefferson kid is another DJ Jefferson, 6'5", 190-pounder, originally from Texas. He's at Minnesota Prep in St. Paul, was originally committed to Tulsa and Frank Haith. Number 131 overall player in the country. Maybe this kid comes in and he's just high-impact player. Like we told Mark, you never know until they get here. But just like on paper, to me, this sounds like the kind of guy that you bring in and good practice player, learning behind Ziegler, Triple J, Vescovy, Tyreek Key, like all these guys that we've already got, and then a couple of those guys matriculate, and then year two, year three, Jefferson takes on a bigger role. And I just hope that...
Well, yeah, I mean, Barnes is recruiting his way into having, you know, I mean, he's just stacking guards.
I mean, it's the same thing we said about Dabunje last year and Tomba and all these guys, is you hope they're patient, and they weren't, and... We'll see. All right, stay with us. Hour number two of The Drive coming up. Jake's got your top four at four when we continue right here on Fan Run Radio.